This is Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ SD, on KPWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. All right, this, you're going to want to get stoned for this. So while I do my spiel, go take a smoke a fatty or take a couple bong loads. Okay, so when there's bad news, I refer to, I start playing some music just to give us ourselves a little break to clear our head. And I'm hoping that people will have sense enough to pass the Equal Rights Amendment in light of the recent abortion dust-up. All right, so Alan White, drummer for Yes, and of course he was John Lennon's drummer in Plastic Ono Band on Imagine, recently passed away. So I've got two pieces for you here that he does some incredible drumming. And what's incredible about Alan White is drummers like Bill Bruford, Phil Collins, Ginger Baker, you know, they tend to do a lot of improvisation. They keep time, but they do a lot of improvisation. So what happens is there's a thing called band democracy. And, you know, when you have a lot of talent in a band, it's hard to get space for yourself. So that's why Bruford left Yes, because both Steve Howe and Chris Squire were virtuoso players, and the problem with Bruford is when he would improvise, as great of musicians as they are, it's hard to stay, he would keep time, but it throws you off when he every show that he plays is totally different. So that's why, Ringo, too, was a great drummer because he keeps time and is very generous to the other band members, letting them to have all the glory and keep the band in time. So, for instance, in jazz, you improvise for like four bars, unless you're Coltrane or Charlie Parker. And then, you know, there's bands like the Fish and the Dead, where they're like a baseball game. They could improvise forever. But in Yes and King Crimson and Genesis, the most of it is written. There's improvisation in between the phrases. There's an improvisation symbol in music. And please ask a musician all this stuff. So it's written in Genesis, King Crimson, and Yes and other progressive rock bands. And what they're doing is, for instance, Genesis were mostly songwriters, and then they got Phil Collins, who was an incredible drummer. So that's why that band worked with four guys, keyboards, bass, and guitar, because they were mostly songwriters, although they became great musicians. But that's why Collins could go off, and every show that Genesis played would be different because of the drumming. So, when Bruford left Yes and Alan White replaced him, Bruford went over to King Crimson, and that only lasted a few years. And toward the end, what they were doing was they actually had sound panels. They were playing so loud, each of them was playing so loud, they couldn't hear themselves. So they had sound panels in between each band member, and then they broke up for 5 years. And then Fripp came up with the democracy in bands has always been an issue. So Fripp used Ornette Coleman's double quintet idea. He had a double trio, and what I think they're doing, it's, you have to be a musician to even understand this, but what it looks like to me like they're doing is two bass players, two guitarists, and two drummers. One drummer is playing straight and keeping time, and the bass player is playing straight and keeping time, and the guitar is playing straight and keeping time, and the other one is improvising for four bars. And then they rotate that off, which is just incredible amount of concentration that they have to do for that. So, yeah. And this is why my friends... brother said to us once, I can't listen to this stuff. Everyone's doing something totally different. And my friend and I looked at each other and said, yeah. So, okay, so this is Relayer Most Yes fans will tell you Relayer was the best Yes album. It's kind of a transition between Close to the Edge and Fragile are kind of the entry point. And it's a kind of a bridge. You'll hear elements of Going for the One and Tormato that came after it. I've always said that Relayer, they mainlined LSD and cocaine and listened to Stravinsky on 78 speed, and that's how they came up with Relayer. And then Going for the One and Tormato, they just skipped the LSD and just mainlined cocaine for those and played played their other stuff, their previous stuff on 78 speed to write Going for the One and Tormato. So this, I'm going to play you the Gates of Delirium. This is an incredible version. You're going to hear how Alan White, these guys just go completely berserk, and Alan White still keeps time. And then Close to the Edge, if you listened, it's Patrick Moraz on the keyboard solo. So again, he does a lot of improvisation, but it's written down. The keyboard is still similar to what Rick Wakeman did. Rick Wakeman left because there was too much. He ate a bowl of tofu during a show while he was waiting for his part to come in, and then left. And they came out with Relayer. And so Moraz plays Close to the Edge, the keyboard solo, and you'll hear Alan White bring the band back in, incredibly. And and both of these are anti-war songs. Close to the Edge, I believe, is an anti-nuclear war song because we're close to the edge of nuclear war. Gates of Delirium, see if you can hear the current war rhetoric in the Gates of Delirium. I call your attention to the line, my favorite line is, "The curse increased, we fight the power and live by it by day." Because in Ukraine, they're just trading one fascist dictatorship for another fascist oligarchy. In Ukraine, they're just substituting one fascist oligarchy for another one. So enjoy. Next few weeks will be Citizens Climate Lobby. So enjoy. Next few weeks will be Citizens Climate Lobby with some fun surprises in between. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. KPW 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, streaming online at kpw.org.
Music, as a lot of you have heard, we lost today Alan White of Yes. He was 72 years old, died at his home in Seattle, Washington. I think it was about 2 years ago where I talked to Alan on the phone for a real memorable interview. He was such a nice fellow. By the way, if you want to see the entire interview, it is on our sister channel right now, Rock History Book. There'll be links in the description of this video. Seems appropriate today to bring back that interview. Here's part one where Alan talks about working with John Lennon.
Were you nervous when you first played with John Lennon? I mean, I ask a lot of musicians about being starstruck, and I would think that you might have been a little bit, because I know you were a big Beatles fan.
Well, I wasn't really. I mean, I was very surprised when he called me up, and in fact, I thought it was a friend who was playing a joke with me, and I put the phone down on him, but he did call back 10 minutes later and said, "No, it's really me," to which I fell off my stool, and he said, "Do you want to play a show tomorrow? You need somebody like you. I saw you play in a club the other night," and I said, "Sure," and he sent a limo the next morning, and I was there. I was Heathrow Airport, and he, Yoko, and Carl Schulman. Then out of the bathroom walks Eric Clapton, and he said, "Oh, by the way, Eric Clapton's playing guitar." And that was a little shocking, but I was pretty young age when I did that, so I just thought it was my next step in my career, and didn't make too much out of it. But only years later, I realized, you know, what achievement it had been, making a match on it. And I went, well, you know, at the time I was just getting on with it.
When you were recording, like, Tales of Topographic Ocean, for instance, that was your first studio album. That is such an ambitious, I mean, they're all ambitious projects, but that is, to me, I mean, when you get, like, a song per side and it's a double album, was that an exhausting process for you? Because that was your first foray with the band recording an actual studio album. How was that for you?
Well, a studio album, Topographic, you know, the first album was Yes Songs, of course.
Yes.
But the first studio album was Topographic. And, well, we rehearsed for that album for 6 months in a place called Manticore, which was owned by ELP. It was a rehearsal studio. And we spent a lot of time on detail on the different parts of that music. So it took about 3 months to record everything. So it was almost a year-long process to do that album. Yeah, well, you know, it's taken a long time. The band's been working really hard for so many years, you know, and it feels really good to achieve the 50-year mark, of which I've been in the band 46 years. So, and, you know, when the band first started, who would have ever known any band would have gone on this long? So, I mean, I'm sure people like the Rolling Stones and different bands like that, you look around at each other and go, wow, we made it this far? You know?
Yeah.
A lot of bands have lasted about a year, and then they are no more. Yeah.
Remember, if you want to see the entire interview, the link is in the description of this video. May he rest in peace. I'm John Bowden from Rock History Music.
It's a song from Rilea, The Gates of Delirium.
Yeah.
Soon, oh soon, the light pass within us through this endless night. And wait here for you, our reason to be here.
KPW 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, streaming online at kpw.org.
200 women watch one woman cry. Too late. The eyes of honesty can achieve.
To a choir we said amazement.
How many millions do we deceive each day?
I get up.
I get down.
I look on blindly
and say
that she take the blame for the crucifixion of her own
domain. The truth is written all along the page.
She would call herself amazement.
How old would I be before I
asking come only dreads could be laid upon the children of her domain.
I get up, I get down.